So we know some of the additional administrative challenges that lie ahead. Is there anything else we want to do? Clean up with that last point there or not really? No. You just don't know what the future is going to hold and what you're going to spend most of your time on or what the controversy will be next year.
I think it's clear from our director's presentation this morning that there are going to be some more changes. Yeah. And I had my pen poised to find out what they are, but I didn't hear them, but I'm sure we will be hearing about them soon.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so petition strategies. If you're a person that wants to challenge a patent, if you're an alleged infringer in particular, may or may not already be involved in district court litigation, the Supreme Court with oil states has said that these IPRs are going to be with us for the foreseeable future. And the Supreme Court at the same time came out with that SAS decision, which basically held that if you're the petitioner and you challenge X number of claims based on Y number of grounds and prior art references, that if the PTAB decides to institute, they have to institute on the entire scope of what was in the petition. And I didn't fully appreciate secondary consequences of that. And there was a case in January, Deeper versus Vexilor, where there the PTAB determined, the panel there said there was a reasonable likelihood of prevailing for the petitioner on only 2 of 23 claims, and because only 2 claims may or may not have been patentable, they're not going to institute because SAS required, the way I look at it, too much work on the side of PTAB and the patent owner, and it maybe doesn't make sense. So these multiple grounds post-SAS, what should petitioners do differently? What does the board like or not like, and did I mischaracterize anything?
Well, I could say one thing, and that is that pre-SAS, there was an incentive, perhaps, to overpack in terms of grounds and claims, because you'd want to throw a bunch of art in there, and then there would be some grounds that would be granted and others would not, and so you would effectively potentially be able to cleanse the prior art that way, because if it was not instituted on certain art that you put in, then there should not be district court estoppel. But that post-SAS, I think that goes away. The other tendency, though, generally, is that often litigants want you to put as much as possible into the case. And so I think, you know, again, the new practice, this Vexilar, Deeper versus Vexilar case is on point, that you know, you've got to be very careful. You put in too many grounds, too many claims, you risk that the board will not institute at all. If you don't put in enough, you know, have you really put forth the best, your best art and best ground? So I think there's a middle ground there, and I think parties need to be very careful.
You know, what I'll say from the corporate perspective is there's been a lot of talk about, oh, my goodness, what's happening with SAS. And maybe I'm just going to play it down a little bit because no, realistically, when you're looking at the petition and it's, you know, 40K or whatever, and it's going to cost you a lot of money, from a bigger corp standpoint, what we did pre-SAS is the same thing as we're doing post-SAS, right? We never were going to pack a lot of claims in there. We look to see if we have grounds for our arguments, and we always have. Now, if we had multiple grounds, we would bring them, but it's the same approach because, realistically, if you were going to lose at PTAB, you're definitely going to lose at district court is how we kind of looked at it. And so we wanted to be very careful. And to the case point, we've always thought that if you have a lot of claims and you're kind of trying to win on most of them but not all of them, that's a really poor strategy because you're looking at, you know, possible denial of institution. And so for us, you know, we've had very good success in really minimizing the which claims we're going to assert. And so our look at it is, you know, basically the same because we're a lot of different jurisdictions in the U.S. and the estoppel was always a kind of a thing that we didn't quite understand and we were always worried about. So we were always taking the same approach, and so we don't see the big difference. Although maybe for some other people you would, but I think that realistically speaking, you have the same approach, maybe just a bit more cautionary.
Yeah, I agree with Vanessa. We've been saying, I think, at meetings like this for a long time, that you should focus on your best grounds and really develop those, and don't don't throw the kitchen sink at us. And it was interesting, you know, when we had the SAS decision came down, we put out orders in our pending cases where we had done partial institutions and invited the parties to tell us whether they wanted to add the additional grounds in, and we had various procedures for dealing with that. I sent out about five of those. I have cases in various stages in which I had done partial institutions, and in not one of those cases did the parties come back to me and say, I want to add in the grounds that were not instituted on. They were perfectly happy to go forward with the grounds that we had determined were meritorious, at least at that stage. And I think that's a good philosophy, I think, that Vanessa, and that is that really SAS should not have made a huge difference in how you approach petitions, because the best strategy has always been, in my view, going with your best grounds and leaving the marginal ones out. Don't throw them in because you have a few extra pages at the end.